You look. Well, good morning, River Church. My name is Michael Gerald. I'm going to be your guest speaker today. Thank you. If you're new here and you're wondering why is that funny, it's because I'm the pastor here, but for the past 5 weeks, I haven't been preaching. Every July, since we've been a church, really, I take kind of the month of July and just spend some time praying, spend the time with the Lord, seeking Him, and just trying to see what He has for us next as a church, where He's guiding me, at least, and where He's taking us. And so for the past 5 weeks, we've had our other pastors speaking today. And I'll tell you, man, I'm glad to be back. It is good to be back. But how blessed have we been the last 5 months? Can we give it up for our pastors? 5 weeks, excuse me. I want to brag on them because they have done a fantastic job. And every single week, for me, because I'm not teaching, and I'm still here, man, and I'm just soaking it in and have been enjoying it, and God has been using them to speak to my heart, and I know He's been using them to speak to your heart. As a matter of fact, I say this seriously, there's been more than 1 week where I'll be out there greeting people, and somebody will walk up, and they'll say, "Are you preaching today?" And I'll say, "No, not today," and they'll say, "Well, who's preaching?" And I'll say, "Well, Pastor so-and-so," and they'll go, "Yes, I love when he preaches," and I'm like, that's supposed to mean? Am I supposed to? No, but seriously, like, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? That a lot of times when the senior pastor is off and you got the other pastors coming up, that's the time people take a break, right? Let's be honest, but not here, because you know, man, when one of the other pastors is up, you don't want to miss that, because you know it's going to be good stuff. Amen? Amen. So we're blessed by them. As a church, we are a better church because of the pastors that we have, and so I'm grateful for them, and I just want to say I'm so thankful for them and just what they have brought, what they've done, and allowing me some time to rest and seek the Lord, but also to bless our congregation. It's been an awesome series. So with that said, I'm glad to be back. Today is going to be an awesome day. We've got some jam-packed good stuff. Today we're kicking off 21 Days of Prayer. Can we get up for that? We got 21 Days of Prayer kicking off. If you're not familiar with that, every August we take 21 days in August, and we just say, as a church body, we're committing to pray for the next 21 days together. We're going to have on our social media, we'll have prayer prompts every day so that we can all be praying in one accord about the same thing as a church body. We also have prayer books out there for you and for your kiddos. You can grab one of those, and it just has different types of prayers and things that you can do. So grab you one of those on your way out. So we got 21 days of prayer. We got baptisms today. Let's go. Let's go. I'm excited about that. I mean, there's nothing cooler that we get to do as a church than to come together and celebrate new life in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And then we've also got River U happening today after church. So we've got a lot of good stuff happening today. And last, but hopefully not least, we're starting a new series today. All right? We're going to be starting a new series in the book of Luke. And as I was spending the last 5 weeks just trying to see where we were going to go next, I actually had some ideas and I had some things that I thought we might go, some directions I thought we might go, and even begin to write out some stuff and plan some stuff. But as I was doing it, I kept coming back to the Gospel of Luke. I kept coming back to it and just really couldn't get it out of my head. And so, and to be honest, even as I was writing this week's sermon, I realized maybe why that is. I'll share that with you a little bit later, but I just kept coming back to it. And so we're going to spend the next few months walking through the Gospel of Luke. And one thing we do as a church is we spend a lot of time going through books of the Bible. In the last 5 years, we've actually gone through 10 books of the Bible, but Luke will be the biggest so far. And so it's going to be a journey as we walk through the life of Jesus. And so today what I want to do is I want to spend just a few minutes giving us kind of an introduction to the book of Luke, because I really want us as a church body, as we step into this study on Luke, I want you to understand who he was, why he wrote the book of Luke, and why it might actually matter for you, why it might be able to impact your life, why the Holy Spirit could come in this place and speak directly to you through something that was written in the Gospel of Luke. And so I want to give you a few things about him. Number one, I want you to know that he was a smart guy. Any smart guys in the house today? Nobody? Like one in the back, thank you. You got one smart person. Well, I'm not smart, so we need somebody, right? Luke was a smart guy. He was a physician. He was a critical thinker. He was somebody who, I won't say needed proof, but he was kind of a critical thinker who wanted to take things apart and understand them and understand who Jesus was. He also, and his life is known as one of Paul's traveling companions, meaning he went on the missionary journeys that Paul went on through the book of Acts, planting churches in Europe and Asia and spreading the gospel. And if you think about this, Luke got to witness the birth of the early church. How cool is that? He got to experience that and see. I mean, the river was a church plant, and we got to watch as a church was birthed out of just a few people, and thank God for that. But Luke got to experience the birth of the church. How cool is that? As a matter of fact, he records it in the book of Acts for us to see and experience ourselves. Luke got to see the early miracles of the church as people were getting saved and the Holy Spirit moving in ways that the world had never seen before. He saw the church lay down roots, people saved, and this world changed forever. Amen? How amazing must that have been? And so from seeing the birth of the early church, he writes Acts, and then he wrote the Gospel of... That four of us? Come on, guys. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. I served that one up for you. That's a home run right there. But here's something that's interesting about the Gospel of Luke. You know, there are the four synoptic Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, there we go, and John. But what's interesting about Luke is that if you may not know this, but the Gospel of Luke is the only one that was not written by a disciple. Did you know that? Luke was not a disciple. As a matter of fact, I was like a teenager before I knew that. Like, they're like, who are the 12 disciples? I'm like, well, obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? I'm like, no. I'm like, whoa, what? And I thought that because you're like, well, if this guy's not a disciple, what's he doing writing the book about Jesus' life, right? What's he doing? How does he know this? Why should we trust what he has to say? Well, there's several reasons for that. We're going to explore that today, but one reason I think why what Luke has to say to us today is so impactful is because he saw the birth of the early church, but secondly, because Luke is like so many of us in here, somebody who never met Jesus in the flesh, yet was convinced of Jesus, and it changed his life forever. Amen? And then God uses Luke to write Acts and Luke and change the world, and specifically in the Gospel of Luke, as we'll get into the introduction today, you'll see he writes it to a guy named Theophilus, and us today through that, but initially he wrote it as a letter to a guy named Theophilus, and we don't know a lot about who that was, other than it might have been somebody important, because he calls him most honorable Theophilus, which is what they used to refer to somebody who was like a high-ranking government official. So it was believed, some people think maybe he was a high-ranking government official, some people think maybe he was just somebody he was respecting and calling him that term. But either way, it's thought that this guy that Luke writes his gospel to was either a brand new Christian or someone who was considering Christianity for the first time. And what matters about that as we read and study the Gospel of Luke is that we've got this guy, Luke, someone who witnessed the birth of the early church, yet someone who never met Jesus, was convinced of Jesus, now writing about Jesus to a guy he's trying to convince of Jesus. And that matters for us today. Let me show you why. Let's jump in, and we're going to actually just read the introduction of Luke today, Luke 1, 1 through 4, just the introduction. You're going, just the introduction? It's going to be a long series. It is. Yeah, it is. It's going to be long. Let's do this. Luke 1, 1 through 4. It says, many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us. So it seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. He starts off, he says, many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us. What's he talking about? What's this narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us. He's saying something happened. Something in our world has happened. Something has changed. He says there's been something that has been fulfilled among us, and there's people who are trying to figure out what that means. There's people who are trying to write a narrative about what that means, this thing that's happened in our world. People are trying to understand it and write a narrative about it. You ever have something crazy happen in your life, and then you step back days, weeks, months later, and you're trying to craft a narrative going, what in the world did that mean? Anybody? Now, like, it could have been a good thing. Maybe you had some incredibly amazing blessing come into your life, and months and even years later, you're looking back and you're going, what was God doing? How is he moving? That was amazing. Could be a difficult season in life where you're walking through it and you don't understand it, so you're trying to craft a narrative around it to help you understand it and explain it and make it make sense. Luke's saying there are men and women who are trying to craft a narrative to understand this experience about these things that have been fulfilled among them so that they can see what it means. There was this guy, Jesus, who comes into our world and he changes humanity. He did miracles, and like, he went to people who were dead and was like, don't be dead anymore. And then they weren't. And then there was people who like couldn't walk, and they're like, get up. And the dude did, right? There were people who blind, and he rubbed mud on their face and spit on them. And then they could see. We're going to try that today. We're mixing up some mud in the back. We're going to see what could happen, right? And people are going, what does this mean? They're trying to craft a narrative to understand the events that have been fulfilled among them. And when he says fulfilled, he's actually referencing the Old Testament, because there were all these things spoken about the one who would come. There's all these things that were prophesied about the one who would come and fulfill these things. And when he did, it means salvation for the world. It means the world has changed. It means the relationship with God can be restored. And so there's all these people going, he fulfilled this. He fulfilled this. He did this. He did this. He did this. What does it mean? What does it mean? And so Luke says there's all these people who have encountered Jesus and seen the prophecies fulfilled before their own eyes. And they're trying to craft a narrative to explain what it means, to put it in a box, to try to make it make sense. And essentially, Luke is telling us from the beginning, I'm gonna be one of those people. And then he says this in verse 2. Just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the world handed them down to us. In some way, he's referencing the history of the Jewish faith and how they handed down over and over the things that God was doing throughout their world. He says, just as the eyewitnesses handed these things down to us, so it seems good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the first, to write to you an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus. So now Luke gives us his mission statement. He tells us why he's writing this book, what he's doing it for. He says there's a lot of people in the world who are trying to understand this Jesus, what exactly this Jesus means for them. And he said, so I've set out to be one of those people as well. I've set out to try and understand who this Jesus is so I can craft a narrative and tell the world who he is. And I don't know if you caught this, but he said, I want to do this because I have carefully investigated these events. Did y'all catch that? He says, I've carefully investigated the things that have happened among us. He says, there's a lot of people trying to figure this out. And so I said, I'm going to carefully investigate these events that I've heard about to see if they're true. I'm going to carefully, like I told you from the beginning, Luke was a critical thinker, didn't I? Luke's not just somebody who just says, you can walk up to and say, hey man, the sky is blue. He's got to walk outside and see it for himself. You know what I'm saying? He says, I've heard about this Jesus. I've heard about the miracles. So I set out to carefully investigate to find out if it's true. Because think about this. When Luke's writing his gospel, the people who saw Jesus are still alive. The people who saw the miracles are still alive. The people that were at the party where he turned the water into wine, they're still alive. The people who saw the lame man get up and walk, still alive. The rich young ruler who spoke to Jesus that Luke writes about, still alive. Zacchaeus, who Ryan preached about a few weeks ago, still alive. So there's all these people that Luke sets out and is able to speak to and ask questions to and investigate. There's people who are at the crucifixion, the centurion who nailed the nails in Jesus' hands, still alive. The dude that nailed the nails in his hands and then was like, wait, Jesus? That you? Walking around? This makes no sense. Still alive. And so Luke is telling us, I had the opportunity to carefully investigate Jesus, to speak to these people, ask them questions, compare their stories against one another, see if they made sense, right? And he even tells us, I went back to the first, meaning I went back to the very beginning. That's why Luke's gospel tells us about the conception. He tells us about John the Baptist, which we'll talk about next week, because he went, some people believe, and even went and talked to Mary and went all the way to the beginning. Because Luke was an analytical thinker. He's a physician. He doesn't just take things at face value. He's going to explore it, investigate it, ask the hard questions, try to understand it. And he says, I went all the way back to the beginning to carefully, meticulously investigate what all these people who were eyewitnesses to Jesus had to say about him. And you can actually see this in his writing, because Luke does something in his Gospels that the other Gospels don't always do. He has certain elements that the other Gospels don't have. And yes, it's some stories that the other Gospels may not have, but it's actually something more interesting than that to me. He says things like places and numbers. Like when he tells a story about what Jesus did, he's like, Jesus went to this place, and there were this many people there, and this guy was the governor at the time. You see what he's doing there? He's laying it out for you so you can investigate it for yourself. Was that really a city? Were there really that many people there? Was this really the governor at the time that Luke is saying that person was the governor there? And so he gives us these details so that it could be verifiable by the reader even today. Like if you told me a story and I didn't believe you, I might ask you some questions, right? Like, are you a liar? Let's see. Look me in the eyes. That story you told me, how many people were there? Four. Really? I heard there were five. Where was the debt? Dallas. Really? I heard it was Fort Worth, right? Boo Dallas. I'm just kidding. Just playing. Some people from Dallas here. Go Cowboys. We can agree on that, right? Go Cowboys. All of you who said no, you're no longer welcome at the River Church. No suit. No, just kidding. All right. Right. But what would I do, right? Hey, how many people were there? Well, where was it at, right? What time was it, right? I would ask you some details to try to understand and see if what you were telling me was the truth. And what Luke does in his gospel is he gives us those details. Isn't that interesting? Matter of fact, he gives us those details, and historians are able to go back and research what he said to find out if it's true. What Luke's trying to tell us is, you may disagree whether or not Jesus was God, but you can't tell me that who he says was governor at that time wasn't governor. They can research it. And so what Luke is telling us, even as a Christian, you don't have to check your brain at the door. You can ask hard questions. Amen? Because some of us have gone to church and they say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's weird. That's crazy. And they said, just shut up and believe it. Right? Now, come on, let's be honest. There are some things about our faith, but because faith is, right, believing sometimes without seeing, right? And there's some things about our faith that we just have to put our trust in Jesus and say, I'm going to believe. But that doesn't mean that we have to check our brain at the door and you can never ask hard questions. It doesn't mean that you can't be curious. In fact, what I would say is if Jesus is true, you should be curious, because if you ask the hard questions, you will find Jesus to be faithful and true and good, and that will only serve to increase your faith. Amen? And so what Luke is saying is, I'm giving you the stuff because I want to increase your faith. Isn't that cool? He says, I've carefully investigated from the first. I was thorough. I investigated what they had to say because I wanted to find the truth. And he says, and I wanted to write it in an orderly way to show you what I found. Hey, what does he mean when he says an orderly way? That term, in an orderly way, was used by Greek literature by writers who had done meticulous research, careful organization, and sought to convince their reader of the truth about the things that they were writing about. What Luke is telling us when he says this is, I've thoroughly investigated Jesus. I've interviewed the people. I've checked out the stories. I've researched the miracles, the healing, the prophecies, and I've been convinced of Jesus. He's changed my life. And he's saying, I'm writing to you, Theophilus, and then to us today through that to convince you that Jesus is true. Amen? He says in verse 4, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. He's saying, I'm writing these things down to you, church. So that if you're on the edge, maybe this will help you cross the line into faith. So that maybe if you have questions, he can answer those questions and help you find faith. If you've been struggling, to encourage your soul, to grow your faith, that you may have confidence in the name of Jesus Christ in whom you put your hope in. Amen? Isn't that a cool thing? It's a cool thing. And for me, this resonates with my soul because sometimes I'm someone who has to be convinced. Amen? Anybody else in the room? Like, I resonate with the centurion who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody else? Because there's sometimes faith is so easy. There's sometimes trusting Jesus is so easy. Like for me, those moments, like when I come in here and I sit over there and I worship in here with you guys, faith is easy in those moments, isn't it? When we join together in the worshiping of our Savior and we're singing his name and we're singing the song and the Holy Spirit's just in this place and it's easy then. But then there's moments where I'm like any of you, where I have doubts, struggles, and it's hard. Amen? And Luke says, I've written this so that you may read it and be confident in the one in whom you've put your trust. It's a blessing to us, church, isn't it? It's a blessing. And I resonate with this so much because I like to think I'm an impossibly optimistic person. My wife would tell you that. Like sometimes she'll be like, your stupid positive attitude is driving me crazy, right? Just such a great, likable, happy person, right? But the truth is, I'm naturally a skeptic down in my soul. So I'm smiling at you, but I don't know about you. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all were like, I felt that when I met you today. I felt that. But here's why this resonates with me so much. And I say because I'm a natural skeptic. I've shared this with us, you guys, before, but I want to share it with you again today. Is because in my story, and I share this in our deeper class, so if you've taken deeper, you've heard this, but my story is one of a person who I grew up in the church. I was saved at a young age. I gave my life to Jesus when I was like 12 or 13. I walked through life. It was good. And then when I graduated high school, I got an opportunity to move to Belize and live in Belize for several months, almost a year. Got deported. It's pretty fun. So it's a true story, and I'll share it with you one day. So not many people can say they got deported from another country. I can. But when I came back, I was here in life. I was 19 years old, and I was trying to figure out life, and I was trying to figure out where I was going to do and what I was going to be. And I began to, as a young man who had grown up in the church and put my faith in Jesus, and nothing bad happened. He didn't betray me. Nothing, you know, there was nothing like that. I just was, you know, at college age and began to question my faith and began to question what I believe and trying to understand who this Jesus character is and was it actually true? Was it actually real? And I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't know if I believed it anymore. And so I'm doing this. I'm like 19, 20. I spent 2 years reading books written by atheists and watching these debates online between Christians and atheists. And so I was doing that, and I remember reading a book called The God Delusion by a guy named Richard Dawkins. Don't buy it and read it. It's trash. It's garbage. But I went and read it because this was the guy. This was the one that in the atheist movement, it was like, this is the guy that will crush your faith. I'm like, all right, let me see it. Let's go, right? And so I read the book, and I remember, and I share this, I remember finishing the book, closing the book, and thinking, that's it? Like, that's it? And that's kind of usually when I share the story where I end it, but as I was writing the gospel, as I was writing this, guys, I came up with a new one for us today, all right? it's Gospel of Mike. It's going to be good. but as I was writing this sermon today, I was remembering that story, and I remembered something that I promise you I had not remembered in years. So as I'm seeking, trying to understand if I'm going to put my trust in Jesus or if I'm going to give up my faith, as I'm walking through that, I remembered this week that I was listening and reading two sermon series. One was on Ecclesiastes that we did this last year, and the second was the Gospel of Luke. God used the Gospel of Luke to help bring me back into my own faith, to bring me home. And I never even realized it until this week that God was using the Gospel of Luke, where Luke says, "I'm writing this to convince you." That's something only God does, amen? A young man who's trying to figure it out and figure out what I believe, all of a sudden start listening to a sermon series on the Gospel of Luke that's all about convincing you that the Jesus you put your faith in is true and good and right. Praise God, amen? Amen. God used all of those things in combination to bring me home. So here's what I want to say to you, River Church. If you're seeking truth today, if you're seeking, it may not even be Jesus. You're just here seeking something, right? Maybe you're seeking, like, is God real or where is he at? Like what's going on? I want you to know that God will speak to you on your level in this place. Amen? Because I mentioned this earlier, like, I can be a skeptical person, and sometimes I need things to make sense. Like, I'm not a feeler. I'm more of a logical type person, and sometimes I need things to make sense. And so God used the Gospel of Luke to make it make sense to me. And what I'm saying to you today is that he can do that for you too. He uses someone like Luke, who is a doctor, a logical thinker, an investigator, a historian, to reach someone like me, and I believe that he can do that for someone like you today. Because you're not here on accident. You're here on purpose. You might not have been here on purpose, but God has you here on purpose. Somebody might have said, "Hey man, let's go grab breakfast." The next thing you know, you're in church. Like, what? And like, there's donuts, breakfast, right? Got me, right? It's not an accident. You're here on purpose today. See, Luke doesn't write his gospel as some legendary fantasy, just throwing things out there, hoping that we would believe. He writes his gospel about a real person who lived in our very real world, who impacted and changed very real lives. And amen, amen. And Luke talked to those people. He investigated those people. He asked them questions. He considered what they said, and it changed his life. It led him to follow Paul across the world, planting churches. It led him to record Luke and Acts so that even today you may know Jesus. So here's my ask. As we start 21 days of prayer today, wherever you are, commit to 21 days of prayer. See, I'm going to spend 21 days seeking Jesus, seeking truth, asking questions, seeing what God may do in me. Can you do that? Looking for the hope of the one that can change your life. Spend just the next 21 days. I mean, you don't have to pray for an hour or two. You can get up in the morning and pray in the shower and talk to God and say, "I need you today, Jesus." And see what he might do. Spend the next 21 days committed with us in prayer. We got books for you out there. We make it easy for you. We're going to have things on our social media so you can be in one accordance with us as a body of believers. But maybe there's specific things that you need to bring to the Lord, specific questions you have for the Lord. Commit over the next 21 days to bring those things to him and see what he might do. You might have your faith increased. You might see answers to prayer. You might see miracles. You might see that situation that you thought there was no hope in that could not be changed. Because we serve a God who looked at a dude who was dead in the tomb and said, "Get out of there," and he did. You clap. And even past that, we serve a God who was dead and raised himself from the dead. Amen. For the next 21 days, I want you to approach God with an open heart, an open mind, open ears, and seek the truth. Because this is for you. Wherever you are, this is for you. You may be a skeptic in here. Like, again, you may not even wanted to be here today. You're just here because you had to be, right? This is for you. Maybe you're struggling with sin. You haven't been able to find your way out. You feel stuck, and you don't know if God loves you or cares about you or is for you. He does. And he can change your life. This is for you. There is freedom in Christ. You may be someone in here who has doubts. You want to believe, but you keep saying, help my unbelief. This is for you. Engage God over the next 21 days and see what he could do. Maybe you're new in your faith and you need a firm foundation. This is for you. He says, I wrote this to convince you. Leave you a foundation for your faith. Maybe you're a Christian. You've been a Christian for the last 30 years. You better believe this is for you. Amen? Engage him with your heart, but also with your mind, and see what he will show you to be true. That our faith may increase, and we would have confidence in the one in whom we have put our trust in. Amen? Stand with me, River Church. Band's going to come out, and we're going to worship Jesus, and the guys will actually pass out communion, and if you would like to, you can worship through communion today. Every week, we just have an opportunity for you to thank Jesus for the cross and his sacrifice, salvation through communion, and so that'll be available to you if you'd like to worship in that way. But here's what I would say to you. Wherever you are, it's for you. And so spend some time as we sing and worship responding to Jesus however you need to respond to Jesus, okay? And so if you need to come down and you want to sit at these altars and you want to pray and you want to just talk to the Lord in the space that he meets people at, come on down to these altars and you can pray, right? Spend some time here. If you want to sit in your seat and pray, and do it. If you want to grab somebody and say, I need to talk, do it. But whatever you do, respond to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the Gospel of Luke that was written for us today, that we might have confidence in the one whom we've put our trust in. Lord, we just, in this moment, we choose to respond to you, to engage you with our hearts and our minds, that you would speak to us, that you would increase our faith, that you would show us who you are, God. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen.